Leagues Radio Sport.
Good evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview. Rob Pritchard with you here for the next half hour. Let's take a look at the latest sporting action on Ireland and beyond. So, coming up in tonight's programme. What impact will the success of the Lionesses have on women and girls football on Ireland? The Alavan Women's Football Development Officer has been speaking to Manx Radio. We'll also get the latest on the plans for the new domestic football season, which will be kicking off in a few weeks' time. For the first time in 5 years, Ramsey Rugby Club are returning to the English Leagues. We hear from the club captain and club secretary, and a big weekend on the Alavan snooker calendar across the water. That's all to come this evening. Good evening, welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. We're going to be turning our attention, first of all this evening, to football. And since our previous instalment of Friday Sport Preview, last weekend has been dominated by the extraordinary success of England's Lionesses, who are now back-to-back European champions after defeating Spain on penalties in Basel last Sunday. Or perhaps naturally then, much has been said over the last week over how much of a lasting legacy this incredible achievement can have for women and girls football. Well, following last Sunday's fairy tale success, Manx Radio's Darren Timpson caught up with Isle of Man FA Women's Development Officer Jamie Lee Ferns. She's hopeful the Lionesses' achievements can further inspire women and girls to get involved in the sport on Manx shores.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was a great tournament. It was a really traumatic tournament, which I think keeps more and more kids and more girls involved and watching it with the parents and things like that. And yeah, from what I've seen, even since group games, never mind, you know, the semis and the final, on social media and things, you know, the amount of kids that are watching it, the amount of parents that have put photos up of, you know, like family games or little England parties and things like that. So yeah, I think the interest on the island has been huge. And then with England actually winning again, everybody's so excited about it.
I know you've not been at the FA for 4 years since the last Euros, but do you know if there was an increase back then? Is that something that, you know, you're talking about in the FA? Is that something that you've been, you know, you're aware of? Are you expecting more participation? Are you going to look to put on more tournaments? How can you take advantage of this, I suppose?
I think it's more just to keep that excitement going and show the children and their parents the benefit of playing football. I know that on a whole, since the last Euro, so since 2022, girls playing football, you know, more than doubled. And, you know, that was, you know, in the UK. But for our actual figures over here, it's not something we can actually look back on, like registration wise, but as far as teams go and clubs who have girls playing there, that's definitely increased. You know, we've had our school tournaments on where we've gone from kind of scratching around for teams to enter to last year and this year having 25 girls only teams involved. Same with the Manx Youth Games, you know, that's just the numbers are increasing each year. So I do think there's work involved to keep that going, which, you know, we're planning to do at the FA. We will put on more tournaments, that's in the plan anyway, but then also work with the clubs to try and encourage the clubs to have more opportunities for girls to play, and then support the clubs that already have girls there to show how we can support them further to bring more girls into the club and also look after the players that they already have.
Is there a plan in mind, I suppose, for an increased girls football on the Isle of Man?
Yeah, definitely. So we have a few clubs that already offer girls football and girls only teams. We're probably looking at about a third of the island's clubs offer girls football. As for the leagues themselves, they're integrated within our development league and our junior league. So the girls teams have the options of playing other girls teams. It doesn't have to be mixed if they don't want that. And at the minute, we're looking into just that gap between the junior football and the senior football. So just bridging that under 16 gap, so that age 14 and 15 girls, is to keep them involved. We don't have the numbers there yet to have a league of their own, but hopefully if we can retain the players that we've got, you know, we're thinking five-a-side leagues, girls-only teams entering the mixed league, that kind of thing. If we can retain them girls, and hopefully by next season or the season after, we should have that full pathway of a full girls' league right the way through from junior level up into the senior women's game.
So you reckon that could be done in the next few years, you're saying?
In the next 2 years, in the next 2 seasons, yeah, I do believe we've got the numbers coming through to bridge that under 16 gap and have girls only football within the age group as well. And then that means that we will have that full pathway of girls teams playing girls, so girls only football right the way through from junior to senior level.
Do you think the Isle of Man senior women's silver medal in Orkney at the Island Games will also be beneficial? Do you think those two things could enable that vision to come true in 2 years' time?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, we have, you know, our, there was a lot of interest in the player profiles that we did for the teams before Orkney. We've had a couple of schools in touch asking for copies of them that they're, you know, that they can give out to the children and things like that. So there was that excitement even before our national team went to Orkney. So to then come back with a silver medal, you know, and find that the children at school had been watching and listening to the games. There was so much excitement on the island. I think it's really added to that push that we needed for the female football.
That's Isle of Man FA Women's Development Officer Jamie Lee Ferns speaking to Manx Radio's Darren Timpson. And you can actually listen to the full extended interview with Jamie Lee Ferns as a newscast. Head on over to the podcast section at manxradio.com. Well, we are joined once again. He's been away for a couple of weeks, sunning himself, whining and dining, no doubt. But he's back here in the studio. Manx Radio's football correspondent Tony Meppham joins us this evening. Well, Tony, it's been a while. Very good evening to you.
It has. I miss your voice a little bit, so I listened to you with your reports from the Island Games. Congratulations on that. It was absolutely superb. And congratulations to the Isle of Man team, because right away across the sports, they were impressive. One or two real strong performances, and coverage was brilliant.
80 medals for Team Isle of Man. Not so bad, 17 it? Better than the previous Island Games 2 years ago. Yep. It's one of the standout stats for me personally, at the very least. But on to footballing matters. We've just heard there from Jamie Lee Ferns, particularly after the extraordinary success of the Lionesses, yet again, it must be said, in the Euros last weekend, back-to-back champions. And the hope that it can have a bit of an effect on women and girls football again here on the Isle of Man. And actually, I believe you've got a bit of a development for us when it's going in with regards to women's football going into this next season.
Yeah, we have. We do, you know, congratulations to England and winning last weekend. It was fantastic. I thought the whole competition was brilliant. I watched most of the games. But through the hard work over the last sort of year, but certainly this year, Jamie Lee Ferns has confirmed that two extra clubs have actually come into the senior women's setup, which is brilliant. They've been in it before. That's Union Mills, and you can't sort of forget Rushen as well, because they had a really strong team. So all the hard work by the two clubs, Rushen and Union Mills, has come to fruition. We've sort of penned the dates for the fixtures, which now Jamie Lee's happy with them. So over the weekend, I'll pen the fixtures out, and the Floodlit Cup that we had last year that we experimented with, 11-a-side, if you remember, for Corinthians Peel, and the rest played 7-a-side. We're going back to 11-a-side for the 7 teams. So a lot of football for them. The season doesn't finish until mid-May, but it's great to see two new teams coming in.
And the fact, two new teams coming in, so that means more matches, more in the competition. So from the women and girls football side of things, it's something that we've debated heavily at times over the last couple of years, in which direction is it going. But in your opinion, how positive a step is this to have two more teams coming into the system?
It's superb, because, it's one of those that when you look at the junior teams, as Jamie Lee's just said, there's an awful lot of young players coming through. What we need to do is to be able to retain them when they sort of reach that 16, 18-year-old bracket. Now, we know there's a little bit of a drop-off from the sort of when the 15, 16s, because there's no actual sort of girls' football for 16-year-old play or 15, 16-year-old players. But once they're 16, they can play senior football. There's nothing we can do about that. We can't change it, the FA. It's a rule by the English setup, and we have to abide by it. But there's still opportunities for them to play mixed football. And there's some real quality players, and you've seen it firsthand, Rob, in Orkney, where some of those young players that have come through, Pippa Wallace being one of them, Rosabelle Cardi, 2, Millie Dawson, 3. You know, they're like 16, 17 years of age, and to play like they do just is credit to their club's coaching, and credit to the coaching at the academy, and a credit to themselves for just really having a go, and sort of now they can step into senior football and improve even more.
So potentially exciting times ahead this season for women and girls football on the Isle of Man. Great to hear about. Well, we're actually just going to we'll take a quick look as well, because the opening fixtures of the new domestic season were announced just a few days ago. But before we get to that as well, there have been a couple of law changes that have been announced as well. The Isle of Man FA has been putting out some information on it. So Tony, having read through it myself, there is, of course, a lot of legal text, a lot of jargon in there, but just wanted you to pick out just a couple of those key changes that are going to be coming into the Manx game, and if you could just explain them in the simplest terms.
Yeah, it's on the website, so if they want a clear understanding of it, it's all there. But I think the two important ones are, the main one is the captain's approach to sort of referees, because, you know, where you've got players running up whatever amount of yards to remonstrate with the referee over a tackle or a decision or whatever, those will stop, those will come as bookings and they will be dealt with. But certainly any approaches needed can be done by the captain, that's no problem, and maybe the person that's been involved in the incident, that's not an issue. They know they've got to be patient, the referees, to just educate the players, but it's just one of those that we feel needs to happen, because, you know, we are struggling a little bit for referees. We want them to come in and enjoy themselves, and if we could take a bit of this dissent away, why not take this proposal that was put forward by the English FA to trial it? So that's what we're going to do, and hopefully it's a success. The other one is one that's always sort of annoyed me a little bit, probably as is well with you, Rob, is the goalkeeper's hanging on to the ball for about 25 minutes before they let it go. Now there's this time restraint coming in, and there's going to be hand signals from the referee with 6 seconds and everything. So that's a new one. So just get them read, get them understood, and when they come into play, which will be in the Charity Shield on the 22nd and then in the full league programme on the 30th, everyone will be up to speed with what's going on.
Indeed, and that's just two of those. If you do want to find out any more details, full details of the law changes are available both on the Isle of Man Football Association website and also on the Isle of Man Football Association's social media channels right now. Well, we're just going to take a quick look, and we'll go into more detail about this nearer the time when the season is upon us, but the opening fixtures of the 25-26 Isle of Man Senior Men's Football season were released this week. The season due to get underway on Saturday, the 30th of August 2025. Looking through the Canada Life Men's Premier League fixtures for the opening weekend: Corinthians versus Union Mills, St John's United versus Laxey, Ramsey versus the champions Peel, Ayr United versus Foxdale, Rushen United versus promoted Division 2 champions Braddon, and then St Mary's against also promoted from Division 2 Douglas High School Old Boys. Tony, what were your initial thoughts when those fixtures were confirmed?
Well, it's one of those that when you write it out, it's all numbers, and then when you actually put the club next to a number and then you see them all unfold, you think, wow. And that Ramsey Peel game, when it came out, I thought that's a big one. But it's so difficult to talk about you know, where things are going to go at the moment, because there are players in the process of registering for other clubs. There will be players transferring, I'm sure, and it's just a little bit of a merry-go-round at the moment. But when you look at sort of actions that are going on, let's have a look at Ayr United first, because Ayr had a really good season last year, but at the moment I haven't got a manager. Nick Hurt has stood down as manager. I think the club knew that was coming anyway. Nick has done an awful lot of work in there, and I think he just wanted to sort of step back, and yeah, I'm sure he'll support the club. But you look at Poyle, Peter Kenyuk is still there. You look at Corinthians, Ben Qualtro is still there. A lot of players from FC Isle of Man coming back to Corinthians. They've decided to go back into club football. And there's one or two sort of players, Lee Gale's being rumoured, Jason Chalmers being rumoured, two Ireland players who are going to Peel. And there's one or two other players that might move as well. So there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, a lot of phone calls being made. And, you know, you can't forget other clubs like St Mary's, Ramsey, Ayr United, I'm sure, will still be about in that sort of top six of the league, and Laxey as well. So there's some big teams in there.
Indeed. Well, Ayr United actually confirmed the appointment of a new first team coach this week. Phil Quayle stepping up from the combination side, so taking over from the aforementioned player manager Nick Hurt there. Well, we'll just take a quick look at Division 2 here. We've got a couple of moments here, and just looking through the fixtures here: Jim's versus Maloo, Douglas Athletic versus Michael United, St George's versus Douglas Royal, Paul Rose versus Douglas and District, Castletown versus Governors Athletic, and Colby versus Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. Jim's and Douglas Athletic appearing in Division 2 last season, both could only field combination side. So are we seeing Jim's and Douglas Athletic making a return in Division 2?
Yeah, we had the AGM on Tuesday, Rob, and basically at the moment the only club that is indicating that they're going to have one team is Douglas Athletic. The sort of plea out there was to them to see if that is the case, to see if they can play Division 2. But it was discussed at length, to be fair, excuse me, about clubs. If they're going to enter just one team, it should be a first team. and it was decided by the clubs that league management would still make those decisions. And if we can see that a club is struggling a little bit on sort of being able to hold their own in, say, Division 2, Premier League, I don't think is a worry, then we look sympathetically towards them. But, you know, when you look at clubs there, Ramsey Youth Centre just missed out last season. Colby had a good run as well. They're the two teams that you'd be looking at. But you just don't know with St George's, you know, with Carl Gartland taking over as manager, could be attracting sort of players in there. And you've also got to look at, you know, other teams that have been involved in the Premier League, Marown, Douglas Royal in recent times, who've improved in quality. So, yeah, it's all to play for Division 2. But until that sort of start of the season comes and we know who's registered for who, very difficult to predict who's going to win that league.
And just finally as well, away from the specific fixtures, the FA has also confirmed the key dates, if you like, for the stages of the respective cup tournaments. Full details are available over on the Manx Radio Sports Hub at manxradio.com. All the dates for all the respective rounds of the likes of the Railway Cup, FA Cup, GH Corlett Woods Cup, Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup, the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup, and more besides. Tony, just very quickly as well, I understand there is also a little bit of a change to what happens over the Christmas break as well.
Yeah, we sat down, we sort of looked at the fixtures and it works. And, you know, we're staying pretty well with the same calendar that we had last season. But what we've decided to do is just give the clubs a couple of weeks off over Christmas. So the Saturday before Christmas, there's no games. And then the Saturday in between Christmas and New Year, there's no games. So we'll go back in on the 3rd of January, I think it is, for the FA Cup, which is a rule to play the preliminary round. And that's really the only tweak in it. The rest looks pretty good. And let's just hope that we have the weather like we had last season to get the fixtures done and dusted in time.
Tony, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Moving on, and an exciting new chapter awaits for Ramsey Rugby Club this coming season. For the first time in 5 years, the Northern side are entering the English League system for the 25-26 campaign. Well, they'll be competing in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire, and that means they'll take part in the same division as fellow Manx side Vagabonds. Well, today I spoke with Ramsey Club captain Josh Cateen and club secretary Will Moffitt, who explained how much everyone at the club is relishing the prospect of this latest journey.
They're all absolutely buzzing. You know, we've kind of not had many games for the last kind of 5 years or so getting back consistent rugby, everyone's buzzing for it.
Well, from your side of things as secretary, obviously there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that have to make this happen. Why is now the right time to be moving back in? It's been a few years away. Why does now feel like a good time to be getting back into that?
I just think, as Joss has highlighted, it's really been a lack of games. And we've certainly on Ireland, the last 2 or 3 years, the club has competed in the Cheshire Cup, Vars, and tried to play some friendlies at against opposition from the UK. But it's just getting that regular rugby of a standard that we think we're operating at.
And Josh, a little bit off that point is the fact that when you are competing in the likes of the Cheshire competitions, how much of a barometer does it all give you really as to where you think you should be playing?
Yeah, so we played quite a mix of teams over the last couple of years. So probably the toughest ones we played was who we lost to the final in last year, which was New Brighton, and they're, I think, the league below what Douglas are in. And yeah, they were class, to be fair, so probably agree that we aren't at that level yet. But we played quite a few other teams that are in Vaggers leagues and possibly the league above that we kind of could compete against. So to be put back into the same league as Vaggers, who we play in the Manx Cup and stuff, and do all right against, that probably is a great indicator of where we're at and why we're happy to go back at that level.
And Will, what's the process like to go through this? As I mentioned before, it's not something that happens overnight. There's processes you have to follow. I mean, has it been quite a long process, or has it actually been quite straightforward?
It hasn't been straightforward. The application process itself is fairly straightforward. You make a formal application to the northern competitions team, by which you have to sort of evidence why you want to do it and how you're going to do it, and that had to be submitted before the 1st of April this year. We only found out second week in July that the application had actually been accepted due to a number of factors.
I've covered this a lot with our rugby correspondent Dave Christian plenty of times. For the teams to travel off Ireland, of course, it doesn't come for free. There is plenty of costs that go into that as well. So from Ramsey as a rugby club's perspective, how are you all going to deal with the extra cost, I guess, of what this season could entail?
No, absolutely. The cost is quite high. In fact, it's very high. And part of the condition of us getting back into the league is that we pay all our own travel, and we pay all of the travel for the clubs coming to the island to play us as well.
Going back to the league itself, you're not going to be the only Manx team in there, because you are going to be in the same league as Vagabonds as well. That must be something to look forward to, a Manx derby in the English leagues.
Yeah, no, we can't wait. I mean, those lads are all great. Every time we have a game against them on Ireland, you know, they all stay down at the clubhouse and really create a good atmosphere. And yeah, all good lads on and off the pitch, so can't wait to play them again.
Well, from a wider club perspective, not just from, like, say, the team members, for example, do you have any specific objectives in mind for this season as a club moving into this English league system, or are you seeing how it goes a little bit?
I think it's a bit of both, really. We've got, you know, we want to see how it goes, but we want to sort of get in there and sort of cement our position within the league, get the experience that the guys want, and get people back down to the Moorick, because obviously we used to have, when we were in the leagues previously, and obviously when we play Manx Cup, the interest in those games is far higher than any normal Saturday. The crowd get to see something different, players from different teams, different abilities. So it's a real draw, and a lot of people that have previously been down have contacted us to say they're really looking forward to coming back down and, you know, seeing how we do.
And just finally, Josh, in the long run, if this was to be something that is not just for one season but continues into the future, having a club like Ramsey in these leagues with this standard of rugby as well, how much could it maybe encourage more people to get involved in rugby on the island? Could it entice more people to get involved?
100%. We, over the last couple of years, we've unfortunately lost a couple of players, and absolutely understandable, you know, they want to play rugby. So they've gone to Vaggers or Douglas to play rugby, and being the only club on the island, now that we have that, we can offer that as well. Hopefully anyone can get involved, and it's something for our junior section to, like, you know, look forward to, look up to, because they can go and play football from 16, and if there's nothing on island that off island that we can kind of provide, why wouldn't you play regular fixtures on island? Whereas now we as a rugby club have regular fixtures, and they can go, well, maybe we can hang on for a year, turn 17 and come through and play for us.
Manx Radio Sport. That was Ramsey Rugby Club club captain Josh Cateen and club secretary Will Moffat ahead of the Northern Club's reintroduction, if you like, into the English league system next season. And you know, just a reminder that they will be entering Counties 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire and will be involved in the same league as fellow Manx side Vagabonds. Incidentally, the first half of fixtures for that league are already confirmed. Ramsey, their first game will take place on Saturday, the 6th of September. They will be hosting Congleton at Morab Park up in the north of the island. Meanwhile, Vagabonds will be away against Burnley on the same day. And crucially, that first Manx derby, in inverted commas, if you like, that is currently due to take place at Morab Park on Saturday, the 29th of November. That could be some occasion, that, between the two sides. Meanwhile, moving things on, and this weekend is a big one on the calendar for the Isle of Man's top snooker competitors. Well, from today until next Friday, that's the 8th of August, the Isle of Man is fielding men's, masters and billiards teams at the 2025 Home Internationals in Leeds. Well, the annual competition sees the Ireland squads face top quality opposition from England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland and more. Well, men's team player manager Daryl Hill has been telling me this week why this is considered a very valuable tournament for local players.
Obviously, competition is different, first of all. Conditions can be a little bit different just with the type of environment. We go to a very high-end snooker club in the UK, the Northern Snooker Centre in Leeds, and they've got like a setting of about 30-plus snooker tables, big area, big lounge area, things like that. So that can be a little bit... can take some getting used to sometimes for any new players, because we don't have facilities really of that magnitude here. So yeah, it's playing in a team as well. I mean, we have obviously a league here where we play team event, but not sort of team events like this one we're going to, where, you know, we're all sort of playing for each other and vying for team results, if you like, rather than individual performance. So it's a good opportunity to work in a team environment, really.
Now, when you go to something like the Home Internationals, naturally, of course, you're out there to try and win as many games as you can, but not just that. But how beneficial is it for you all on an annual basis to be coming up against some high-quality players from the likes of the home nations, in inverted commas?
It's really important, because it's important to... if you have players over here, particularly on the small island, and other nations are the same, really, when they're playing just amongst themselves, you can get too used to playing sort of the same people and the same style of playing and as such. So you get to know the players almost a bit too well. Similarly, the only other thing we have to send players to is the big mainstream European and world amateur events. So particularly with the Home Internationals, it provides a really good step stone sort of in between our level and the big European world events. So it's a really good way of integrating our players into international snooker without throwing them right in at the deep end with big major international events. So it's one we like to go to every year. It's a bit easy to qualify for with our ranking system, and it's a great opportunity for new players or or our mainstream players to just get really a bit of practice against, you know, other people, other players, other standards. And it picks their game up. You know, you'll find when they come back then in after the weekend, they'll naturally be queuing and playing better just from being in that environment and being around those sort of players. So yeah, it's very good.
So over the next couple of days, whether it's for yourself individually or as a team, have you got any particular objectives in mind? Anything in particular you want to take away from this event?
We always hope, obviously. We're always quite hopeful that we can do some damage. I mean, we have actually had some pretty good results in the last 2 years since we went away. We went through a spell where I think really because players were prioritising other mainstream events, they didn't really opt to go to this one. So we were using it basically to introduce players to international events for the first time. So it was basically, you know, just to let them see how things are. So we weren't really expecting any results from that. But the last couple of seasons, we've sort of knuckled down, took a couple of decent teams away and scored some notable wins. So I think more of the same, really. You know, we've got a decent match on the opening night. We start on Friday night in the men's category anyway against Wales B. So it's really been the first night we've sort of been able to produce a good result, or what sometimes is a shock, if you like, on the opening night. So I think both teams as well with the Masters, I think, you know, if we can get off to a good start, that will help the weekend and hopefully just take it from there match by match.
And that is Isle of Man men's snooker team player manager Daryl Hill there, ahead of the Isle of Man's men's Masters and billiards teams taking part in the 2025 Home Internationals. So as a reminder, they are taking place from today, the 1st of August, right through to Friday, the 8th of August as well. Well, for the men's squad, Hill will be part of the team alongside regulars Dolan Mercer and Peter Kirkham, as well as a newcomer in the form of Brandon Forrester McKelvey. Elsewhere, Kirkham will also be involved in the Masters tournament along with Paul Smith, Chris Dagnall and Sean Roberts. And next week, the billiards event, that'll be held on the final 2 days of the meeting, the 7th to the 8th of August, with Roberts, Chenji Ratnaval and Mike Crook all penned in to take part. And you can see all of the Isle of Man's opening fixtures across those tournaments in detail over at manxradio.com. Well, that's about all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. Many thanks to my guests, as always. Don't forget, plenty more news, interviews and more over on the Manx Radio Sports Hub at manxradio.com. And if you've liked to catch up on any of what you've heard in tonight's programme, this will be available as a podcast shortly after. So all that remains for me is to say, have yourself a wonderful Friday evening, whatever you're doing, and have a wonderful weekend as well. But from us, until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.